Okay, before we get started, I'm going to plug these. I was informed by my wife that I to write down the website, the email that you're supposed to email these. So I got it here on paper. We're still giving these away for free. If anybody would like one, please send us your snail mail address, info@ohiogracebible.com, and we will send you a copy of these free of charge. The first one is Jesus Wasn't Talking to You by Terrence McLean. The second one, Things I've Been Taught from the Bible That Are Not True by Mark Stewart. So, if you would like those, please let us know. It is Northeast Ohio. It's snowing. January 23rd. Surprise of all surprises, right? 22nd or 23rd? Maybe it's 23rd. Is my phone? Okay, I don't need it. I have a lot of scribbles here on this paper, so I'm hoping to make this somewhat cohesive today. But if you want to get a finger in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, you can keep your place there. But have you ever heard the phrase, I want to have childlike faith, right? I just want to have a childlike faith. And what I want to go over is where that comes from. So let's turn to Matthew 18. Matthew 18, verse 3. I'm going to get an idea of where that comes from. Because a lot of times when you start talking about doctrine, what you'll get back is, I want to have childlike faith. And what that is, it's just a cop-out. And what they're saying is that, I'm not really interested in studying. So, Matthew 18, verse 3. Actually, starting verse 1. Matthew 18, verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. And said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. The other one we can look at is Luke 18, verse 17. We're just going to run through some verses today. There's probably going to be a lot of turning of the pages, so just be ready. Luke 18, chapter 18, verse 17. For those of you online that can hear my pages flip, I'm still old school, so I apologize for that. Let's see, verse 17 says, Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. So, those conversations of, when you ask somebody, what have you studied or where are you studying? I just want to have faith as a little child. I just want to get into heaven. Now, there's some things we're going to contrast today, but let's go over to Mark. We'll look at one more, Mark 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 13. And just like any other verse in the Bible that can be taken out of context and used for your own purposes, you can use these verses as an excuse not to study. Mark chapter 10. Verse 13, And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. So, how do we contrast that with something that we're supposed to be doing today? We have all those verses that say, I just want to be like a little child, right? The easiest one that comes to mind is 2 Timothy 2:15. And if you followed us for any amount of time, this is like a staple verse, right? And I'll just put one word up here, study. (Clears throat) So earlier this week, we homeschool our kids. But earlier this week, my son came to one of the statements in his books that he didn't necessarily agree with. And there's been times that I have crossed things out in those books that he uses in his curriculum. And I'll just give you this statement. And this is like a fill in the blank in his booklet, in his curriculum. The statement is, curses are a debt we pay for sin. At 7 years old, my son was able to understand that that wasn't correct. So if a child can figure that out, what's your excuse? If he can understand that we are not paying for sin with curses, then what's your excuse? That's what I want to focus on. But I also want to get an idea where... Oh, here we go. What I also want to focus on is get an idea of contrast between why there were curses and the law. I think sometimes that people, they can't get past the first 10 commandments, which is pretty typical. But when we talk about the law, let's just turn to Deuteronomy. Let's go back in your Old Testament to Deuteronomy and figure out what this law was beyond the Ten Commandments. Deuteronomy, let's first go to Deuteronomy 11. Deuteronomy 11, verse 1. Let's get a little bit of history here and understanding why we are supposed to follow the law. Again, if you want to know about the first 10 commandments, if you don't know those, you can go to Deuteronomy 5, verse 6. But we're going to start in Deuteronomy 11. And we're just going to read some to get a little bit of understanding of why we always say you don't have to follow the law. It's a little bit more... It was complicated for the Israelites. Verse 1 starts, Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always. And know ye this day, for I speak not with your children which have not known and which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his stretched out arm, and his miracles and his acts which he did in the midst of Egypt unto Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and to all his land. And what he did unto the army of Egypt, unto their horses, and to their chariots, how he made the water of the Red Sea to overflow them as they pursued after you, and how the Lord hath destroyed them unto this day. And what he did unto you in the wilderness until he came into this place, and what he did in Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the sons of Reuben, and how the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their households, and their tents, and all the substance that was in their possession in the midst of Israel. God is love. Let God love you. Let God be your friend. He is a righteous God. You want to know what he can do? Just keep reading. Verse 7, but your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did. Therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that ye may be strong and go and possess the land whither ye go to possess it, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give unto them to their seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey. For the land whither thou goest to possess it is not the land of Egypt, from whence ye came out, where thou sowest thy seed, and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land whither ye go to possess it is the land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. And the land which the Lord thy God careth for, the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he will shut up the heaven, and there will be no rain, and that the land ye not her fruit, unless ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your head, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied at the days of your children, in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. I'd say this is a pretty heavy charge for these people to keep the commandments, to keep the words of the Lord in their hearts, to keep them, to teach their children, right? This was not something that the Lord was taking lightly. This is not something that was flippant among his people. And it wasn't just the first 10 commandments. Although that was a start, right? Most folks don't understand that if you take a finger at Deuteronomy chapter 12 and start flipping pages and keep your finger at chapter 12 and then go all the way to 28, those were the laws. All those pages. Deuteronomy 12:1. Let's look at that real quick. And I do this just to give you an idea that it wasn't just the Ten Commandments. In 12:1 it says, "These are the statutes and judgments which ye shall observe to do in the land which the Lord of God of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it, all the days that ye live upon the earth. Ye shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which ye shall possess serve their gods upon the high mountains and upon the hills and under every green tree. And ye shall overthrow their altars and break their pillars and burn their groves with fire. Ye shall hew down the graven images of their God and destroy the names of them out of that place. Ye shall not do so unto the Lord your God, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of your tribes to put his name there, even to his habitation shall ye seek, and thither shalt thou come. And thither ye shall bring your burnt offerings, and your sacrifices, and your tithes, and heave offerings of your hand, and your vows, and your free will of offerings, and the firstlings of your herbs and of your flocks." When churches preach to tithe, they're trying to take portions of these laws, just little pieces, just enough to keep you under this bondage. Verse 6 is not just a tithe, okay? We're talking like heap big piles of things that you have to do. Now, once you hold your finger at chapter 12, and once you've read through all these laws, all the way to chapter 28, you take that big, thick stack of papers, and then you come to chapter 28, in verse 1, it says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do a tithe." No. A-L-L. All. And I'm not talking about the detergent. all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shalt thou shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou goest and comest, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. And the Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face, and they shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. And the Lord shall command the blessings upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thy hand upon. Let's just say you're going to be having a pretty good day. Easy times. If you obey all the commands. In verse 10 it says, and all the people of the earth shall see thee, that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy ground, and the land which the Lord sware unto the fathers to give thee. And the Lord shall open thee his good treasure in heaven to give thee rain upon thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thy hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and shall not borrow. Imagine that. In verse 15, let's see the other side of that. And it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do a couple his commandments. All his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, and all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy land, and increase of all thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. I hear a lot of times, have a blessed day. I've never heard somebody say, have a cursed day. Be cursed. Not to your face, right. Be cursed. No, never heard that. Be blessed. Have a blessed day. Verse 19. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me, and the Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee, unto he have consumed thee from off the land, whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with the blasting, and with mildew, and he shall pursue thee until thou perish. That's a bad day. That's a bad day. I heard a man giving a message one time at a men's retreat. And he said he had a providential affliction. I'm not going into what the providential affliction was, but it wasn't as bad as what we're seeing here in chapter 28, being cursed. What he was dealing with was not being cursed. It was a sickness. It was something that he had to deal with for 1 week. That is not a curse. Let's look at Deuteronomy real quick. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 14. So this is going back to a little bit of what you're supposed to be eating. Under the law, Deuteronomy 14, verse 1. Ye are the children of the Lord your God. Ye shall not cut yourselves, nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. For thou art an holy people and unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself, above all the nations that are on the earth. Thou shalt not eat any abominable thing. These are the beasts which ye shall eat, the ox, the sheep, and the goat, and the hart, and the roebuck, and the fallow deer. Amen, you deer hunters. Right? And the wild goat, and the pygarg, and the wild ox, and the chamois. And every beast that parteth the hoof, and cleaveth the cleft into two claws, and cheweth the cud among the beast that ye shall eat. Nevertheless, these ye shall not eat of them that chew the cud, or of them that divide the cloven hoof, as the camel and the hare. Oh man, you rabbit hunters, you're in trouble. And the coney, for they chew the cud, but divide not the hoof. Therefore they are unclean unto you. And the swine, because it divideth the hoof, yet cheweth not the cud, it is unclean unto you. Ye shall not eat of their flesh, nor touch their dead carcass. Pork chops are out of the picture, folks. Mission barbecue is not okay. I was having a good day.
That's why we eat chicken.
That's why we eat chicken.
That's why we have grace.
Grace, right? Okay. Well, let's look at some contrast to 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4. I'll try to be quiet as I turn the pages. Oh, we're going to be there shortly. 1 Timothy. First Timothy 4, verse 4. This is interesting. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. How can you have both? How can you be under law, but then, if I just receive it with thanksgiving, it's okay. Go ahead and eat it.
I follow
the whole Bible.
Stop dragging around and pick it up and read it.
And I can't even touch a pork chop at the butcher's.
That's silly.
But if I receive it with thanksgiving, it's okay? Huh? What are you talking about, Willis? That's dating me. First Corinthians 10:25. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 10:25. Paul's kind of dealing with something like this too. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles or the butcher stall, whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to... Let me start over. If any of them that believe not bid you to eat, bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is before you, eat. Asking no question for conscience sake. How is that possible?
A cross.
But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other, for why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Man, this is confusing. I just want to believe as a child. I just want to have the faith of a child. You want to figure it out? 2 Timothy 2:15. You can do it on your own. You don't need anybody standing up here. Do it on your own. Now, I told you to have Romans 8. I took the long way around. Let's go look at Romans 8. All those things we looked at in Deuteronomy, that big stack of pages that you're supposed to follow. We're going to read down to 15, but we're going to start in 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of your body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, let's look at Romans 10:4, just a couple pages to the right. People who want to put you back under the law, whatever that may be, you can take them to Romans 10:4 and say, For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Amen. Keep on flipping Colossians 2:14. Colossians 2:14. Blotting out the handwritten of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers that were murdering him on the cross, thought they were going to win, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Well, then people ask, well, why would you not obey the law, right? Why are they in the Bible then? I follow the whole Bible. Let's look at Romans 7, 7. Romans chapter 7, verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Flip back a couple pages to Romans 3. What is the law here for? Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare the righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time he is righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. That's the completed work. Not the law. Isn't that a total slap in the face to people who want to follow parts of the law? And if they can't see it there, then you can take them to Galatians 3. Galatians 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted for him to righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are of the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in these shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many are as of the works of the law under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for they shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Curses are not debts we pay for sin. They're already paid for. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Let's jump over real quick to this. We'll close with this. Galatians 3, 21 through 26. Galatians 3, verse 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was the schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. For we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Just real quick, let's look at James 2:10. I forgot to go there. James 2:10, verse 10. Why can't I find it? Right, little tiny book in the back, somewhere back there. Okay, there he is. Got him. James 2:10. Just so you guys know who want to follow the whole Bible. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend one point, he is guilty of all. Let's just make sure we're clear on that, okay? That's why Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. That's why Galatians 3:13 is there. You couldn't keep it all. It's not possible. It was only possible through Jesus Christ. That's why we have faith in Him. I hope that clarifies a little bit of things, just to see the contrast between the two and why we talk about not following the law. Because you can't follow the whole thing anyways. I hope that gave a little bit of understanding as to why we talk about studying your Bible. And if you want to, you know, take a study into the law, those pages between Deuteronomy 12 and Deuteronomy 28, good luck following all that. I choose grace. It's a much better choice. And I hope you do too. And I hope your eyes are open to the fact that the law is bondage. We're not under it anymore. Stop trying to put your foot back into it. It's not going to work. It's only going to create confusion. And you can have faith as a child to believe, but after that, let's get out of that milk stage and get to studying. Amen?
Amen.
All right.